some new faces, welcome new people. We'll have a chance to introduce ourselves afterwards, so you can find out your names and so on. And some old familiar faces as well, oddly enough. I've been gone from Jikoji for quite some time, and so that's that little thing I talked about in the meditation is apropos to me. This is definitely coming home, and it's good to be back at Jikoji. Quite a bit of drama and changes in my life, and things are always changing, isn't it? So unavoidable. And yet here we are at this time and place, this moment, meeting together. In Buddhism, there's a vast wealth of wonderful knowledge, psychological, philosophical, spiritual, and it's quite deep and almost gorgeous in its complexity and in its fullness. And yet, today I don't want to talk about Buddhism, so I'll put that aside a little bit and talk about talk a very simple message. In Buddhism, there's what's called a threefold practice, and very simply, it has to do with the three aspects of the way explaining that this way is comprehensive, that it's all about all of your life. It's not just about knowledge, which is one aspect, knowledge or understanding. And it's not just about meditation, which is another aspect, this practice that we do of sitting still. And it's not just about ethics or behavior, which is the third aspect, but it's all three together, kind of joined. So this practice, although we sit still, it involves our whole life, our understanding, how we behave, how we relate to others. And that aspect is what I wish to talk about today. Simply speaking, what I want to talk about is how we meet another. Not necessarily another person, but how we meet anything. When I was away from Jikoji, there were certain things I missed, many things I missed. One of the things I missed was in my room, I have a little altar space. And I have a Buddha, I have a Shakyamuni Buddha. And I picked up this tradition. It's a wonderful tradition in Japan, when I studied in Japan, where people have their own sort of home shrines or home altars. It doesn't necessarily have to be Buddhist, but it's very wonderful to have a kind of place at home where you can show your respect or remember your departed relatives or friends, something like that. In the Buddhist tradition, we offer incense, just like I offered incense in front of the Buddha up here. I offer it in my room. I have a small little Shakyamuni Buddha, and I also have a Manjushri Buddha, which represents wisdom, represents awareness, represents sort of clarity. And I also have a Buddha of Amitabha, which represents infinite light, compassion, connection. It's related to, in aspects, it's related to Avalokiteshvara, if you know that one. And I also have a shrine of, not a shrine, but a place to offer incense with pictures of my relatives. My mother just passed away, so I have a picture of my mother, my father, and my brother. And it's not common in the West, but I really like this tradition of kind of remembering my family and my friends that have passed away and paying my respects. So every morning I wake up, we sit in the morning here on weekdays, and every morning I wake up a little earlier than the wake-up bell. I set my alarm earlier, and I make myself coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. And it takes some time to get my robes on, and I have a little time for reading or something. But the main thing I do in the morning before I sit is I offer incense to these three Buddhas and to my relatives. And I remember those aspects of myself. And then I chant a chant called Sangye Mam. And it goes, Ga shaku shozo, sho aku go, kaiyu mushi ton jin chi, ju shin kui shi sho sho, isai ga kon kai sangye. And then I chant it in English. All my ancient wrong actions, from beginningless greed, hate, and delusion, born of body, speech, and mind, now I fully avow. And I have another translation. All this unwholesome karma and endless production from attaching, averting, and ignoring, now I completely confess it. So I do that every morning. And then I do the three refuges. I return to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And I say that three times. So every morning I say, basically I say, I'm sorry. Mea culpa, I'm sorry. The early monks, the monks of the early Sangha, had a tradition on the full moon and on the new moon when they practiced what's called Vasa, which is the winter retreat. When they came together, they would meet at those prescribed times, and they would do something called Parvarina, which means confession. And not only the precepts, we have certain precepts or understandings of how things work in Buddhism, kind of like the Ten Commandments, but it's a little different. And how things are, how things meet, you could say. Not only those precepts, but also there's other agreements, you could say, about how this community of people that practice together, how they work, how it works. So as the community got bigger and the tradition got longer, more rules were added. It started out extremely simple, but there were problems, you know. Like at the time of the Buddha, money was being introduced, and these people left the householder life, and they had to receive offerings to keep themselves going, and in exchange they would give the teachings to lay people. So they begged, and or received offerings, and money was introduced. So there was a problem: what to do about money, or someone got a contribution of a high bed, and then what to do about that raised bed, you know? So the rules got added. So every 2 weeks, these practitioners would come together, and they would review the rules. But before they reviewed the rules, they would confess their mistakes. They would say, "I'm sorry." And this is a tradition in Buddhism, to say, "I'm sorry." So I want to basically talk about meeting, about fundamentally growing up. Now, some of us are consider ourselves adults, and some don't, but most of us, I think, in this room, more or less consider ourselves adults, yet we can't say emphatically that we've arrived at adulthood, or that we're grown up. When I was a child, I remember getting lessons about saying thank you and please. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And so I want us to kind of come back to that place and remember those admonitions to grow up. And my proposition today for you, let's call it an assignment, okay? A little assignment class. I'd like us to learn how to say, "I'm sorry." And then I'd like us to learn, or to remember, how to say, "Thank you." And finally, I'd like us to learn how to say, "I love you." In Buddhism, one of the ethical ethical statements is right speech. Right speech. How to speak correctly. And it's actually said in the early sutras that right speech should be kind. It should be timely, in other words, appropriate to the situation, and at the right time. It should be true. And being true, it means no deceptive qualities, no omissions. It should be absolutely true. And it should not include frivolous speech or gossip. It should be useful in that sense. So those are the four qualities of right speech. And in our precepts, we have statements that say no false speech. But it also, we also have a precept that says no slander. So we don't slander. We have a precept that says we do not slander another. It's basically stated as no praise and no blame. Neither to yourself nor to another do you puff them up with undue praise, sort of create a sort of unrealistic situation, either with yourself or with others? Or do you deflate them or degrade them by your speech? So one of the things that the early Sangha did, because they lived in a community and because they often made mistakes of wrong speech. So the monks would come, the monks or the nuns would come on these full moon or new moon days of and say, I'm sorry, I misspoke, I spoke unkindly to you, things like that. And they said, I'm sorry. And most of the old monks could do this very well, although not that wasn't always true. But some of the new monks had to be reminded, and maybe even the older monks had to be reminded sometimes, so that they even had a process in this ceremony, and this saying I'm sorry was actually a ceremony of if you didn't acknowledge your faults, then your preceptor, which is your mentor, your preceptor, could actually say, and don't forget about, you know, this thing. So they say, oh yes, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. You know. So sometimes the misspeaking was based on fixed views. Remember when we chanted the Metta Sutra, we say, not holding to fixed views. So some monks would be very idealistic and have an idealistic view of how things should work. They weren't really seeing the whole picture. They weren't really seeing that this person was having trouble or this thing was out of alignment with the way things should be according to their idealistic view. So not only confessing misspeaking, but also confessing like I holding on to fixed views, even Buddhist doctrines. So our next assignment is to say thank you. After we've confessed our, say we're sorry, say I got in trouble again and I'm sorry, I apologize. Then we're ready to say thank you. So how do we say thank you? How do we say thank you to ourselves, to the world, to another person? Well, I'd like to recommend that how you say thank you is you study how to listen. You study how to meet another person by listening. Listening means coming to a person, or coming to a thing, or coming to yourself without preconceptions, without ideas about what's right or wrong, or good or bad, or what's finished or unfinished, but just coming to that situation, meeting that person, and listening. Waiting. Being with that person. Being with that thing without any idea of who you're meeting or what you're meeting. Or if you have an idea, or if you have a view, or if you have a preconception, you're willing to hold it softly. And knowing that it's going to change, knowing that who you meet is not your idea of who you meet. Who you meet is completely new at that moment. And that freshness is actually, what would you call it? That's the source of all things. It's hard, you know. We hold so much, and we think we have to maintain a kind of package of identity to negotiate the world. And I guess our biological or evolutionary imperative for our survival is to really make clear that this is me and this is not me, to make the to, for this organism to survive. But we know that it's bigger than that. We know that your body is not just your body. Your body is more than your body. And your mind is more than your mind. And you are not who you think. You are not your thinking. You are something more. But we have this habit of holding on to or reifying a self. There's a story, one of the Zen dialogue stories about this holding, and it shows how habituated this is. So these stories are between a student who's inquiring from a kind of innocent state to a teacher, but in this one it's two teachers, and they're both sort of venerable masters. You know? So the venerable master Yan Yang asks Zhao Zhou, "When not a single thing is brought, then what?" Zhao Zhou said, "Put it down." Yan Yang said, "If I didn't bring a single thing, what should I put down?" Zhao Zhou said, "Then carry it out." This is the kind of radical, or I would call it very pure view of letting go, of not holding to self. Even if you can't put it down, then carry it out. So the third assignment for you, for your study this week, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, honored followers of the way, elephants and dragons, is to remember how to say, "I love you." And that word love is kind of tricky, sticky in our environment, social environment, because it's sometimes only connected with very close intimacy and or family or something. But if you can't say internally or externally, I love you. If you can't say I love you to a teacup, maybe we can say, I really appreciate you, or I'm devoted to you, or I acknowledge you, I really meet you where you are. The proposition I'm kind of throwing out there for us is that if we can't say, I'm sorry, and thank you, and I love you, we still need to grow up to be an adult, to be complete. We have to say to ourselves and to the world and to other beings, I'm sorry, thank you, and I love you. Not so hard. Okay, is everyone ready to say that?
I'm sorry. Thank you. I love you.
Well, that's really all I have to say today. It's a very simple message, and not too complicated. And I invite you to walk around with it this week as a kind of silly, almost childlike assignment.